Hi, my name is Seema. I'm a baby and toddler sleep consultant and a qualified therapist. I've been working with families for about 17 years now, around depression, stress, anxiety, overwhelm, mental health, and sleep. I'm here to just talk about some sleep associations today and what they are and, you know, when parents feel that they want to reach out for support, when things are getting too much for them, if there's a sleep association and that they would like to change the way that their child is being put to sleep. So we know that sleep training can be a controversial topic, and it all depends on personal values. Personal parenting approaches and what mindset is. So there's a couple of things here that sort of jump out to me. One is that sometimes when families approach me for sleep training, let's say, for example, it's on social media and they reach out, other people can jump on and almost be quite judgmental or shame that person for reaching out for sleep training. And there's this thing around, you know, you shouldn't sleep train your child, or it's quite normal to feed to sleep, or you shouldn't be force dropping night feeds, which I don't anyway, but that's a separate topic. And that the child should learn to self-settle by themselves when they can, when they're older. And I often say to people that, first of all, when somebody reaches out to you know, get help for sleep training, it takes a lot of courage, you know, because we have this fear of failure, that is it going to work, or fear of judgment that, well, you should already know how to put your child to sleep, it's quite a simple thing. But we know that it's not, it's quite a complicated thing. So often when I'm approached, you know, mums in particular can really beat themselves up that they've not known how to put their child to sleep, that they're reaching out for help, that they've not been able to do it by themselves. So sometimes people sort of jump on it and say, you know, well, you should just sort of do it by yourselves. It's normal. It's natural. They'll start sleeping through when they're ready. And I always say to people, well, hang on a minute. First of all, do you have the correct information around exactly what sleep training is? I've done a separate podcast around what it actually means to sleep train a child. Do you have the full information? Are you aware of what's exactly involved? Or is it a myth that you're carrying around previous stories that you've been told around what it is? And it's about sort of dispelling those myths and sort of figuring out, okay, what is actually involved? What is the process when you sleep train a child? Then secondly, what I ask parents as well is that, how is sleep affecting your child and your family, you guys, personally? Are there mental health issues? Are you suffering from sleep deprivation? Is there anxiety? Are you functioning from day to day, you know, every day, sort of what you need to do, going off to work, or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, managing multiple children? How are you feeling within yourself? And would you like to get help? So I always say to people that there's two things there. So to clarify, first, find out exactly what sleep training means, and, you know, without sort of going in from the outset and saying that a child should be self-settling anyway when they get older by themselves. And secondly, what is the, you know, what is the family wanting to do? Does the family want to change the way that they're putting their child to sleep? So when there's a sleep association, you know, rocking, feeding, bouncing, walking, singing, you know, contact, naps, things like that. There's nothing wrong with those things. It comes back down to what I've just said about whether parents want to start changing the way that they put their child to sleep. So if they're feeding to sleep, by all means, carry on feeding to sleep. There's nothing wrong with that. That is okay. If parents would like to change that, it's about looking at, well, has the child become dependent on the feeding to sleep? And when you go to put your child down in a different way, does it become stressful? Does it take a lengthy amount of time? Do they get overtired? Are there a lot of tears involved? Do they wake up again frequently straight after, sort of only just to have to go back and feed and rock them back to sleep for another half an hour or an hour? So what can sometimes happen is that a sleep association can become created if your child has become dependent on that external thing to put them to sleep. So that basically is what a sleep association is. So let's say, for example, you're feeding your child to sleep and then you try to put them down without feeding after, you know, 4, 5, 6 months or something, and they cry a lot. And they don't settle, and they're crying for a long, long time, or just waking up after about half an hour. It's likely that they've developed a sleep association and that they don't know how to self-settle and they don't know how to resettle. So what resettling basically means, it's different to self-settling. Resettling is basically that when you link cycles, your sleep cycles, and that you know how to get yourself back to sleep when you wake up. So when a baby doesn't know how to resettle or link their sleep cycles, they're dependent on the thing that put them to sleep in the first place to get them back to sleep again. So, for example, if they're feeding to sleep, they've got a sleep association that they're dependent on the feed to put themselves to sleep. They need the feed when they wake up again, which is why parents can sometimes struggle and have to give in to give the feed to get them back to sleep again. And then when there's frequent night wakings, the child's waking up and wondering, right, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. You know, I need to be fed back to sleep again. So that's basically sleep association. Often what can happen is that it can increase as the child gets older. So I work with children up until about 6 years old, and I've seen from 4 months old, 10 months old, or, you know, 2 years old, right the way up until 5 years old. And when there's a sleep association, often what can happen is that it gets worse and worse. And then from about, I'd say, 1.5, 2 years old, till about 3, 4 years old, what the child then requires, rather than rocking and feeding to sleep, because it's not physically, you know, possible to do that, the child gets too big, or, you know, parents want to stop feeding to sleep, they try to put their child down in different ways, it doesn't work, because the child's been dependent on the feed or to be rocked to sleep. They then want the parent to sit next to them or lie down with them or to touch their hair or to touch their hand or to have contact with them or be physically present in some way for them to self-settle and go to sleep. So the sleep association can increase and it can get worse as time goes by. And you're looking at two options then, either self-wean off of the sleep association, which can take quite a long time, or sleep training. And then when you've got sleep training, what you do is you can gently put a plan into place where you come away from the feeding or the rocking, and then you put a sleep training method to complement that. And you use your method to teach your child to self-settle, link their cycles, and start sleeping through the night. So that's a bit about what a sleep association is. I will be on again shortly to share some more information around different topics, and I hope you enjoyed listening.